Our second reading for today is recorded in the Gospel of John, the 10th chapter. And this is that beautiful Jesus the Shepherd text. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. The hired hand, who is not the shepherd and does not own the sheep, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and runs away, and the wolf snatches them and scatters them. The hired hand runs away because a hired hand does not care for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my own, and my own know me, just as the Father knows me and I know the Father. I lay down my life for the sheep. I have other sheep that do not belong to this fold. I must bring them in also, and they will listen to my voice. So there will be one flock, one shepherd. For this reason, the Father loves me, because I lay down my life in order to take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it up again. I have received this command from my Father. The Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Grace to you and peace from our God and Savior, Jesus the Christ. My older daughter, Jenny, is now age 45, believe it or not, and has her own 8-year-old. But when she was still in the crib, we purchased one of those lovely Fisher-Price musical mobiles that goes around above the crib, and a beautiful little musical ditty to help put a child to sleep. Well, as new parents, we wanted her to be comforted with a lullaby to go to sleep by. And she was one of those kids that was really hard to get to sleep, and she slept for only 2 hours at a time, and then was up and busy again. Well, this mobile played the tune, and perhaps you know it well, "When at night I go to sleep, 14 angels watch do keep, 2 to whom it's given to guide my steps to heaven." We thought that was just lovely for her to hear every night. Those words of comfort, almost like a shepherding comfort. As she learned them, it would be so comforting to her to relax and to fall asleep maybe a little longer than 2 hours at a time, or so we hoped. Well, one night we were so pleased because we could hear her singing this soothing lullaby out quite loudly until she got to the second line, and we discovered she was singing, "When at night I go to sleep, 14 angels watch TV." She had couch potato angels rather than real protectors. And she was singing about how lucky these angels were that they could stay up and watch TV, and she was forced to go to bed and sleep for her big 2 hours. She was a hard one to get to sleep. Obviously, she did not gain any comfort from a flock of angels nonchalantly watching the idiot tube while she was being compelled to go to sleep. Well, we laughed at that. We laughed at what we thought would be her throng of comforting angels in the night. No comfort, no protection, no caring were they. They were all watching TV where she wanted to be. When it comes to comfort, when it comes to protection, when it comes to caring, we turn to those we trust. Those who we trust the best to stay with us in our times of joy and celebration, and also in our adversities, our times where someone can cry with us. We don't need a trinket or a musical mobile or whatever for comfort, do we? We need an invisible shepherd and the one that sent into our lives by that invisible shepherd, by God. Those people who surround us in times of need to protect us. Today, Jesus comes to us in this Gospel of John and bids us to abide with him, the one who is the good shepherd, the great protector, the comforter, the very flock gate to radical grace. For the fleece of this flock he has saved. John's gospel also warns us of something. He warns us of wolves in sheep's clothing or sheep's fleece and hired hands who do not have any vested interest in the flock. We know people like that. They're only interested in money, not the person or the flock. The Good Shepherd calls us by name, doesn't he? Knows every inch of our fleece in his flock. The sheep depend on Jesus to keep them from danger and give them life abundantly, like us. I wondered a bit about this since, and perhaps you do too, I get tons of mail every week, email, mail, and I get phone calls every day where the person addresses me by name. So it seems really comforting in a way, but I have very little trust that they are seeking my good as an intimate relationship when they call, because I don't know them and they use my name to get through like wolves. I wondered about that when George Floyd had an officer's knee on his neck, squeezing the life out of him for 9+ minutes. Well, he pleaded in words like, "Please, I can't breathe. Oh, mom, my mother." Police officers are there to be our good shepherds, aren't they? And most of the time they are. Most of the time they are. I grew up in a small area of downtown Eau Claire where we had a cop we called by name. He stopped in for coffee. He played with the kids. He knew us by name. He was a good shepherd cop. But we saw evidence that there are others, very few, but there are others who are wolves in shepherd's clothing. The result, death to one of our flock, God's flock, one God, one flock. That reminded me of a similar story. Some workers were hiding behind a protective wall as a dynamite fuse was inching its way toward an old building that they were trying to demolish for new apartment building housing. Suddenly, a little toddler girl appeared running toward the building. She was running there like she was feverishly looking for someone or something. The workers yelled for the child to stop, to come back. They pleaded in shrill, alarming voices, but that only terrified the little toddler all the more. She ran even faster away from what she thought was danger to the building. All at once, her mother appeared. She had been searching for her daughter. Filled with overwhelming fear, she called out, "Come here now, Isabella Maria." Instantly, hearing her mother's loving, familiar voice, she came back and thrust herself into the loving arms, the trusting arms, the shepherding arms of her mother. The workers broke into cheers after fearing they had caused a terrible situation to be far worse. That's the kind of love Jesus the shepherd was trying to explain in today's gospel, that mother's love, calling a child by name, usually the second name too, sometimes when you're in trouble, and the child knowing immediately that voice. Jesus knows one sheep at a time and all sheep. He knows every fleece hair on each one of us, and he knows our names. He knows George. He knows Isabella Maria. He knows you, and he knows me. Just as important, we all know his voice, a voice of love, a voice of care, when Jesus calls us into action or calls us for comfort. Of course, as we heard in today's gospel, there are those false types, those wolves, the hired hands, as in today's text also. They may even, as you get those phone calls, know your name when they call to tell us that our car warranty is about to expire. How many of those have you gotten this week? Or we've won millions, and then they swipe our identity when we go in to fill out the form. But they do not know the individual fleece of each one of us in the flock. No, they do not, like our Savior does. We cannot trust them, but we can trust Jesus. Jesus, who is our shepherd, and we shall not want by trusting him. As we know, sheep images have been used through the years. And we know about the black sheep in the family. We all know that story about the black sheep in the family. That always bothered me that it was black and the rest were white and they were wonderful, right? It just gave me the wrong impression. However, I was raised in the city, right downtown in Eau Claire, one block off from North Barstow Street. I didn't know much about animals on a farm. I learned one day in a text study, all of the others were farmer pastors, that sheep story was an interesting one, and that was the text we were using that day. And they talked about the black sheep and how it is not as valuable because the hair, get this, the hair cannot be dyed as easily as shearing a white sheep's fleece. Oh, revelation to me. I always thought it was a bias against black sheep, but it's because of the utility. The fleece on the black sheep has come to be undesirable, the one undesirable in the flock, in our families, with people, unfortunately. But Jesus sees no color variation at all in his love, with people, with family, with all of us. He loves unconditionally the 99 and the other that he goes after to bring back. The priest Ezekiel in the Old Testament speaks of false shepherds too. He declares, "You shepherds of Israel who have been feeding yourselves, should not shepherds feed the sheep? You eat the fat, you clothe yourselves with the fleece, you slaughter the fatlings, but you do not feed the sheep." It's happening then too, just like today. "You have not strengthened the weak. You have not healed the sick. You have not bound up the injured. You have not brought back the strayed. But with force and harshness, you have ruled over them." So they were scattered because there was no shepherd. And scattered, they became food for the wild animals. Then Ezekiel speaks of a good shepherd. He's speaking of Jesus here, kind of the prophetic part. "I will seek the lost, and I will bring back the strayed, and I will bind up the injured. The fat and the strong I will destroy." And Ezekiel continues and foretells of this Savior that we know of now. For our Easter celebration, we're still in the fourth Sunday of Easter. "I will feed them with justice. They shall know that I, the Lord their God, am with them." Then there is this. The wolf in sheep's fleece, fleecing the flock, the very flock we know so well, right? Black, brown, or white, fleecing as in cheating. So the word has a positive side and fleecing has a negative side. and it's well known in Wisconsin. Fleecing, as in cheating, in all colors, shapes, and sizes. Some of us remember, I'm getting old enough, I remember these things, remember Bill Proxmire. He was a U.S. Senator from Wisconsin, and a good one, from 1957 to 1989. In some ways, he was like a shepherd for his Wisconsin flock. This senator particularly liked this sheep metaphor in our gospel for today, in the book of John. He liked that one, and he used it. He liked the text about the evil wolves in sheep's fleece and fleecing the flock, taking advantage of our well-being, he said. Proxmire went after big spenders in government. Those were the wolves in sheep's clothing, he thought, with their pork barrel projects for their own states, not to help the states, but to make themselves look good. Where is Proxmire now when we need him? Anyway, he was quite famous for handing out what was known, and everyone knew back then, about the Golden Fleece Award, and you did not want to get the Golden Fleece Award. For he did that every year at least once, and sometimes he had multiple people to shame. He protected by ripping off their false fleece as they tried fleecing the sheep of the state, we the people. He really cared about his people, rather like a shepherd who cares for his sheep. So there are good shepherd ministers. We're all ministers. There are good shepherd ministers in our world today, being led by that original good shepherd. And Proxmire was one of those, even though he was a politician. The interesting thing about shepherds is that they usually heard, and I found this interesting in a text study one time too, they usually heard from behind. They're not in front. They heard from behind. As I say, I'm not a farmer. By following with a staff and nudging the sheep who linger, who may just go astray and fall off a cliff or something, keeping them in the strength and love of the one fold, and being last and laying down one's life for those sheep. Being last, you can see everything in front of you and take care of it. That last shall be first keeps resurrecting its head in our text. Jesus, knowing the 99 will be safe in the kingdom by the sea, is what good shepherds do. And then they go out and get the one who has gone astray. The Good Shepherd text has been rated as right up there with the Lord's Prayer, which we just enjoyed. And we've also heard, as Eric read, Psalm 23. It is right up there with the Lord's Prayer for people. It is one in our liturgy today, and it is one most often picked by people for funerals and memorial services. And I can vouch for that in my over 30 years of doing funerals and memorial services. That's what people want to hear at a funeral, Psalm 23. When I was in confirmation way back in the 1960s, my pastor had us memorize Psalm 23. Well, every week we had to memorize something, but Psalm 23 was really important to him. He said we would keep that in our hearts for the rest of our lives. Well, we were 14 and we didn't know that. I do now, and so do my classmates. I've used it a number of times when I was called and didn't have any text, any Bible, or any prayer book with me to go to the bedside of someone at a hospital or a newborn that had just died and the family was grieving. And I could recite Psalm 23 to them. What a gift God gave me and that pastor gave me to use. Jesus comes to each one of us in our joys of being healed, And in our sorrows of maybe not being healed, but understanding healing is also eternal life. He gives us real food. He gives us spiritual food. He binds up our wounds. And he brings us back when we stray. And I know I've strayed. All of us have strayed at one time or another. And not just once. Jesus keeps bringing us back. We watch for the staff of life from behind, that Jesus is following behind us to make sure that we're going in the right direction and guiding and nudging us lest we veer off into despair. Jesus' angels don't watch TV. No, he keeps them hugging our fleece and caring through angels on earth. Those people who care for us when we least think anyone cares at all. Regular folks who call us by name as Jesus does. The fleece of Jesus' flock is precious, and each one, regardless of color, black, white, brown, anything in between, is saved through the death and resurrection of the great shepherd, Jesus the Christ. We are part of that one great flock with one great saving shepherd. One flock, one shepherd, and Jesus knows his own, and his own know him. Amen. May the peace of God, which passes all human understanding, keep your hearts and your minds on Christ Jesus. Amen.